Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hello and welcome to Loose Units, Loose Ends. Every week, Dad and I sit down and give you a bit of extra stuff because Dad's an ex-cop and I'm his son, and that's the show. But on Tuesday, we dropped a very special thing, and that was Red Hot Australian Christmas, Tegan Higginbotham's incredible Australian Christmas audio play for an incredible cause. If you haven't already heard it, go back and have a listen, because this week's episode is a very, very special look behind the scenes at what it's like to create an Australian Christmas play, what it's like to do your first acting role, I'm looking at you, Dad, and what it's like to deal with something as intense and stressful and realistic as Australian fire and rural Australian Christmases in something that is meant to be and kind of is a comedy. We hope you enjoy. So Dad and I are here today with a very special guest, Tegan Higginbotham, the writer and director of Red Hot Australian Christmas. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Well done on the play.
Thank you. Well done, first of all, to the both of you. I mean, John, this was your big acting debut. Are you going to be in Hollywood soon? Have you already got plans? Have you got a big agent?
There are no flights available at the moment to Hollywood. So I thought what I'd do is I'd take a slow boat to Bollywood.
I don't know how, you know what? You'd probably be really good in Bollywood because you talk so much that a 4-hour film would probably work.
Paul.
Yeah.
It's weird doing, just if everyone can just close their eyes and imagine that for the first time doing a podcast, A, I'm looking at Tegan, which is a bit weird because Tegan, your face is too close to the lens and it makes your face look a bit weird, a bit distorted. Because in real life, it's not. It's actually borderline perfect face or head.
You know what translates really well, Dad? You know what translates really well to an audio format is describing in painstaking detail the visuals of a video.
But Paul, it's very disconcerting for the listeners for me to see you because normally I just see the fridge.
What do you mean, just see the fridge?
Well, I don't see you. I see a fridge, which is just over to my right.
Right.
When we do our podcasts, I'm in the kitchen.
Yeah, but you're looking at the computer, not the fridge. Oh, so you're staring up.
No, but peripherally, I'm aware. If I look over to my, like I can see some louvers.
I don't, again, you've gone from describing things that aren't interesting to, let's get back to the topic at hand.
Well, I was complimenting you both. John, your debut acting performance was wonderful. And I've been looking through the Facebook page and you were getting a lot of compliments for your portrayal of the Premier of Victoria.
Mm-hmm.
But Paul, I think, you know, we have to spend just a moment acknowledging the incredible edit that you did. That record, you know, to get all those voices down, we didn't have nearly as much time as we needed.
No.
And you turned some very raw audio into just this world, and you did such a beautiful job.
Well, we went down to Castaway Studios, which, Dad, is where you and I recorded the first, I would say, 50 episodes of this podcast. Dad would come down and do big batch records, and Derek over at Castaway Studios was like, look, I'm just going to set up the room next to the studio and create a kind of semicircle of microphones, and we're just going to do it. We're just going to do it. My friend Dirk Maggs from the UK, who has done a whole bunch of incredible stuff. He did the Hitchhiker's Guide audio plays, Alien 3. He's currently doing the Sandman series under Neil Gaiman with James McAvoy and a bunch of other incredible actors. Dirk basically said, look, here's how you should do it in a best case scenario. And so I then took that down to Derek, and we kind of set this whole thing up. Tegan, you cast the damn thing.
Oh, yeah.
And got all the actors in for a 3-hour session, which is not nearly enough time.
No, but what was also really interesting is some of Dirk's feedback really highlighted for me the fact that what Australia is still going through is, you know, the whole world is going through COVID right now, but we do still feel very different in that Dirk kept on suggesting things like to record all the scenes in the toilet, because we have quite a few scenes recorded
just,
in
just
a
toilet. Just to clarify, you mean the toilet scenes, not all the scenes.
No, no, no. So all the scenes are in the toilet. He'd suggested to get the best audio, put your actors into a small room, preferably like, you know, a toilet. And I had to point out, you know, when we're in the studio that we can't do that. That is illegal, or it certainly was when we were recording this. You couldn't have two people standing within 1.5 meters of each other, let alone asking them to cram into a tiny room. So the fact that you created those soundscapes when we really didn't have the ability to capture the footage raw in the way that we would have liked to. Sorry, I keep saying footage, audio.
Oh, but there was, I mean, there is actually, by the way, a lot of footage of the recording sessions, which we should probably grab some of and put up, because I think it'd be nice for people to see how this was done. But I took those six different feeds of overlapping audio from different scenes, put in sound effects, music, edits, filters, all kinds of things to make it feel like you're actually there. But the really challenging thing was that three of the actors did this remotely. So Georgia Love, who's a friend of the show, she played the newsreader. And she sent us her audio. Fun fact, Georgia actually is a trained newsreader, so that was very easy for her.
I had somebody online go, that person doing the newsreader, man, they should really do that job. And I was like, well, funny thing, that's her job. She's incredible.
And she's really good at it.
Yeah.
And then there was Jackson Tozer, who played Danny. And Danny, Jackson had to record his stuff remotely, and you and I got on the mic with him, and he's an incredible actor, and he just nailed every take. But his audio was super different. So one of my hardest jobs was slotting him in and cutting out the lines that you read on the day. But the most enjoyable thing to splice in, Dad, were your performances, where we got you to play the Premier of Victoria, and you got to give basically dispatches on fires in Gippsland. Now, you were a firefighter for many years, Dad. Was any of this familiar territory for you? Was this a comfortable experience? Did you feel kind of out of your depth, or did you really enjoy the role?
I loved it. And I'm very much aware of the emotions that it brought out, Tegan, big time. So you know that I walked because Paul called me very early, unceremoniously early the morning of the release.
Like 6 a.m. or something, yeah.
It was seven. Because you're usually the one that messages me unceremoniously early.
No, I've been up for 3 hours, soft sand running, fasting while soft sand running. And this, on that morning, you had somehow managed to sleep in, and I woke you up.
Paul did message me, and he was really excited. And it was very weird because he was speaking in hushed tones. I don't know whether Tegan was still asleep, but most of Australia was still, at least in this time zone, i.e. the east coast of Australia, were asleep. And Paul's kind of furiously sort of basically giving me instructions that I had to listen to it in one hit. No pauses. So I knew that I was going to get my new tonneau cover put on that day. It had been booked in for some weeks. Paul, you're giving me a bit of a funny, I know this is radio, but you're giving me a funny look. It's probably good that we don't see each other when we do our podcast, because I would be really, really jacked, because it throws me, because I'm looking at your face and I'm looking at your various gesticulations and I'm looking at Teague, and I can see her left eye
twitching.
Okay. Now, the thing is, you two, that I did understand the importance, and it had been many years since I'd listened to a radio play. When I was a young boy growing up in Armidale, I'd come home. We didn't have a TV. That's how fucking far back it goes, back into the 60s. And I would come home every afternoon, and the ABC would have a show called The Argonauts. And it was just, I'd lie down or recline on my grandmother's couch, and I would just close my eyes and listen to the characters. And it was bloody marvelous. So when I decided to do the walk, and it was a bloody long walk, Tegan. It was at least 10K through the city. But I've got these amazing noise-cancelling headphones. I'm not going to name the brand because they don't sponsor me at this stage. But it's a piece of fruit. There's a hint. And
Beats
I started listening. Now, when you start listening to a radio play, at first like the mother really, really, her persona changed dramatically. And Paul, I absolutely loved your British accent.
Oh, thank you.
Private school boy, Eton, Harrow, rugby, then gone on to Cambridge or Oxford. You didn't really, but that's how you would have if you had a spoken like that.
That's very
now, strange. Tegan's voice was so wonderful that I actually, and I'm not kidding, Tegan, I found it very difficult to figure out it was you.
What are you talking about?
I'm serious.
About? I'm not in it.
Oh, fuck. Are you joking? Oh, Jesus. Oh, fuck. Are you joking?
No, she's not
oh,
in
it. Oh, shit. Okay.
You fucking dingus. Hang on. Who did you think she was?
You thought it was Brian.
No, I thought, do you know what? Do you want to hear the weirdest thing, Tegan? Oh, God. I actually, because when you mentioned Mafra, which is an incredibly obscure town, I was starting to think that maybe you were calling forth, oh, fuck, some of your inner sort of, not desires, but the whole thing was like, do you know what I'm saying? I thought you were, do you know how one of the girls, like, you know, in the lesbian relationship?
Yeah.
Which I thought was fantastic. I thought you were one of those girls.
You thought I was Alex. Do you think I was in the one who was in the bathroom at the very beginning? Or the girl who rocks up later?
Well, not the one that was going out with her.
Hey. I think Alex.
So Alex, yeah.
Well, let me tell you about, so that's not me. That's an incredible actress called Michelle Brazier, who, if you watch this season of Auntie Donna's Big House of Fun.
I love that. God, I'm...
Michelle is in that, so you're going to see a couple of sketches with her. And yeah, she's, I mean, what a wonderful person to be confused for, because she's absolutely wonderful. But no, definitely not me. So I'm glad that after all these years of bonding, we can confirm that we don't have voice recognition down.
No, but I thought that, because I know that you can put on various voices, Tegan.
I can.
And you can do that. But also, can I just admit to the public that, like me and like all of us, but kind of like me too, but you know what I mean. But I was actually, and I'm kind of slightly hesitant to say this, but I actually had genuine tears at parts in the play. Like, it was intense. And I think, you know, that's I'm being really honest. And I called you, Tegan, straight after I'd listened. And because I wanted that conversation to be raw. I was also quite aware of who should I call, you or Paul, because I knew that if I called you, Paul might get a bit sad. So then because I like to be fair, but you are the writer. But Paul, you did such a great job with the sound effects that, look, it really just adds that fertilizer to the mind. It helps sort of... No, mate, I'll tell you two are... Oh, and look, my role was very, very small. I hope in the next series I have more of a role, perhaps say 50% of the dialogue. But I was happy with 0.001% in my debut. Good. No, but it was very good. And I loved it. And the newsreader, she was a cracker.
Yeah.
And the mother is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. The dad, he played that role beautifully with that pathos. And it was a real mystery. It was a real teaser, Tegan, because that shocked me. I didn't know that was coming about.
Yeah, so it's, I mean, it's, you can, you know, and it's why we're really happy to partner up with Standby Support, because I feel that in rural areas, there is this real problem of people not talking or not feeling like they can express, you know, their feelings, especially if those feelings are negative, whether they're sad or, you know, that whole gamut of emotion that's on the negative side of things. And so, yeah, I was really happy to get to, I suppose, try and bring that sort of a character to life. And yeah, I hope that, I mean, it's been really, really lovely reading the comments on Facebook when this went out, because, you know, it's so different. I do not think that any true crime podcast with such a loyal and established audience has ever in the past gone, hey, just to mix it up, we're going to throw a radio play at you. Like, that is so naff and weird and different. So I was really, really touched when you both said that I could, you know, use the Loose Units platform to put this piece of work out there. And the fact that it's been received so wonderfully and just getting really wonderful messages, especially though around the subject of fire, and realizing how many loose units, audience members, and just people in general have just been so personally affected by fire in this country. And, you know, we're heading into another summer now. You just had record breaking temperatures in New South Wales. What did it get up to?
47 out west, and Sydney, where we live, which is kind of supposedly we should have a sea breeze, got to 40. Whoa. And we don't have air conditioning. That's the thing about being in Thailand, in a hot country. Mm. You gear up for it.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Yeah. So Christine and I, we went and bought a fan, a small fan, and that saved us, because we went through it was really full on. And and I think it affects your mind as well, the extreme heat. And I think you become a little bit irrational. And I've also talked in the past about firefighters. They have a nose for the smell of smoke. And that day I was driving around Sydney, and the fire engines were literally out of control, just going everywhere. And I could smell the bush alight. And and I think it's a very poignant time. I think in a weird way, Tegan, what you've done is you've brought this, the timing of this radio play is perfect. And it reminds people of the fragility of lots of things: family, friendships, relationships, nature. Like, we're having problems with the decimation of the koalas and lots of things. So, and it's polarized because of our crappy year we've had with COVID. And there's just been a case today in New South Wales.
I read about it. Yeah. One of the hotel workers, right?
So, and everyone gets really we're all excited, and it's 16 or 17 days. And then to think that we become sort of so embedded in the news. And, we're coming down to see you in a few weeks, which seems quite surreal, to be honest with you. But I think, Tegan and Paul, that the radio play, because let's face it, it's an extension. It's more involved, more nuanced than perhaps a podcast, insofar as the numbers and the logistics. But Tegan, where did this idea come from?
Well, last year at Christmas, Paul and I went and we stayed with my parents in Mafra. So we were in Gippsland. And just in case anybody doesn't know exactly where Mafra is in Gippsland, we were, like, every morning we would wake up and my parents' property was full of smoke.
Yeah.
But we were never in any direct danger.
That was partly your mum's cooking going on.
So when the fires were absolutely ravaging Gippsland, it was certainly something that was very close to our hearts, but we were safe where we were. But the smoke was there, and it certainly put a very odd feeling over the Christmas. And then one night, this was on, I think it might have been Christmas Eve actually, Mum had said, hey, look, I've heard that there's this bloke down the road who does really, really good Christmas lights. And I am a sucker for Christmas. I love it. And Paul and I, we like to go see Christmas lights together. So we're like, yep, great, we're going. And we went to this place. I think the road's called Three Chains Road. And it's not just that there's a few Christmas lights strung up. This is so much of an attraction.
It is a Griswold grade Christmas village.
The guy has literally had to borrow the paddock next door to set up official parking because that many people drive to see this. And just think, an entire rural property covered in lights. He has blow up reindeer. It's on the roof. It's in the garden. There are people playing live music. Like, we were blown away. I was in absolute heaven. And then what we saw is towards the very back of this property, there was this blue tree. So it was this gorgeous tree lit up and it had all these blue baubles on it. And it's like, oh, okay, maybe this is where the guy makes a little bit of money, because I can't even imagine the electricity bill that he gets slogged with. It's like, oh, cool, maybe this is how we donate to him. So we're walking up there and then suddenly I start reading things and I realize that the idea was that you paid to write a name on one of these baubles. And every name was somebody that you had lost to suicide. And this tree was so big. It was just covered in these blue baubles. And I was just standing there and I couldn't quite comprehend the amount of names up on that tree. It just really, it was just such a hit. And so all the money at that event was going to Beyond Blue. And when I got home, I was really thrown by it. It was just so impactful. And I did a little bit of research and it turns out that the gentleman who set that up had lost his brother to suicide. And I thought it was the most beautiful tribute. But as Paul and I were coming home from Christmas, it just, you know, we had a lovely time, but it had been...
Did we?
It had been fires and that moment. And I remember the exact intersection I came to quite near Hayfield when we were on our way home, and just the idea fully formed in its full completion just hit me. I wanted to tell that story.
Within 5 minutes, you kind of given me the synopsis, and it was, you're right, it was completely fully formed.
Yeah, it's funny thing with my ideas. It's how they happen. It's just like, oh, that's what I've got to write now.
And BBC, that there was a bit of feedback from them, the BBC?
Yeah, so what happened was I didn't really know what to do with this idea, and I'd been really wanting to get into radio plays for a little while. Paul's really passionate about Big Finish, which is all Doctor Who radio plays. I'd started listening to them. So we'd been in that headspace, and I found out that the BBC run a competition every year called the International Playwriting Competition. Mm. I was like, great, this gives me a deadline. I'll write my play. I'll submit it for that. And then I submitted it, and I didn't hear anything. And then COVID hit, and the date when all of the winners would have been announced came and went. And I did some research. I tried to find online who had won, because I'd gathered by then that it wasn't me, which was fine. But there was just nothing, no updates. So I just assumed that the whole competition had been cancelled. I even emailed them. I was like, hey, can I do anything with this script now? Like, am I allowed to make it? Never heard anything back.
That's right, yeah.
And then last week, I got a lovely email from them when I'd already started working on it, saying that it had been commended, which was really lovely.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it was lovely. A very nice surprise.
I mean, it was a bit like someone saying yes to a date 6 months later and you're dating someone new and you're like, this is awkward. But yeah, it was amazing to receive that kind of that commendation. And what's really interesting is it's from the BBC. It's and cool. I've got friends in the UK, and for them, the notion of a hot Christmas, let alone a fiery Christmas, is just like science fiction. It is completely unrelatable. And yeah. I think one of the things I like about Loose Units, Dad and Tegan, as you both know, is the fact that we have a global audience. And I guarantee you there are people listening right now and who are listening on Tuesday when Red Hot Australian Christmas dropped, who are just sitting there going, what? I mean, for them, this whole thing is, they're viewing it through the eyes of Matthew. Mm. They are sitting there going, redbacks, exploding trees, what, like fire? I mean, Christmas is meant to be. I mean, there's all the unifying themes of family being awful and all kinds of stresses and, you know, and overeating. But then there's some really uniquely Australian things in it. And unfortunately, one of those things is fire.
And this has been it's a part of a lot of people's lives, just the fact that we link Christmas with fire and now. Even when my parents were living in the Dandenong Ranges, which is this gorgeous mountain range outside of mountain.
You lived in mountain? I love mountain.
Outside of Melbourne. that was at the time when they were both CFA firefighters. Mm. And those Christmases were so stressful because in the Dandenong Ranges, there is this air siren. So whenever a fire starts, whether it's a grass fire or a fully fledged bushfire, you just hear this terrible.
Tegan, how's it go?
I'm not doing it again.
Okay. I'd just like to also let the listeners know that Tegan Higginbotham, our daughter-in-law, very cunningly, cleverly, I'm going to explain to the listeners how Tegan organised basically the meeting of the parents, which was really clever, Tegan, because we had no idea. You organised that whole day, and I know you organised it because your mother, mysteriously, we're just popping in to say hi, but she's done a banquet. But we did the railway, the
Puffing Billy.
We did the Puffing Billy in the morning. Mm-hmm. And then we're just going under the guise of just going for a drive. You said nothing. We pull up in this location that was mountainous and spectacular because Christine and I had never been to the Dandenongs. And we go down into this place, and I'll never forget, I saw a sign on the house.
Yes.
That has a very strong connection to Doctor Who.
The house was called Gallifrey.
Correct. Yes. And then at that point, I knew the ruse.
Yeah,
the ruse was over. And that was good in a way that you did it that way, because it's pretty heavy to meet, you know, in-laws, potential in-laws, and it's quite a significant time.
But one of the interesting things was you did, upon meeting Kev and Kaz, you had this common ground in that, you know, they'd put out fires as well. Suddenly you're in a room with other firefighters, you know, CFA or regional or whatever. You'd all kind of done that. And I found that a really interesting link, you know?
Yeah, It is. And it's certainly, it's just been really great in the past week. No, it's not even been a week, in the past few days, just hearing that many stories of people and their experiences with fire. Yeah. And I think, you know, even back when my parents were in CFA, I just remember already having such a respect for emergency services, because it wasn't just the fact that they're expected to go out and risk their lives to fight these fires, which they all do. They're so wonderful. It's the other stuff that gets brought in that you're not expecting, like the fact that they have to go out to car accidents.
I
certainly didn't see a lot with my parents of a back-end support. You know, you could potentially see somebody, because up in the Dandenong Ranges, there are bad accidents up there. Mm. You could see somebody in a very bad way and then just be expected to go home. And I find that crazy. Like, I find that crazy that we put people through that. And so it's always been something that's been in my head, this real love of emergency services, whether it's, you know, professional firefighters, whether it's volunteers. I was really happy to have the character of Danny in there as that role. Mm.
What I did reflect on also last weekend in Sydney, when it was over 40 degrees. Now, an analogy, because I love analogies. And Paul, I know you hate intense heat. I know you would like to live on the southern, or whatever, the coldest face of a mountain in Scotland.
I'd like to live in Shetland right now, please. Yes.
Yeah. Although Shetland is quite beautiful. However, Paul, imagine it's 40 degrees. You're in a beautiful environment. You might be having a gin and tonic, cold beer, whatever. And you're feeling really relaxed, but outside you're aware that there are emergency service personnel, and let's sort of focus on firefighters. Now imagine going out into that extreme heat with a big suitcase full of woolen clothing, woolen socks, massive boots, long woolen pants, undergarments, overgarments. And then once you're totally kitted up, then throw on a really beautiful hooded duffel coat of pure wool and just wrap yourself up in that. put a motorcycle helmet on, then go jogging in that 40 degrees. That's what our firefighters do when they're at a big fire. And they will do that. They'll do it for as long as it takes. And they're working long shifts. And it's really weird to think that you can, as a professional firefighter, you can put all that gear on and you can actually face the beast.
Yeah.
And you're kind of, the last thing you're really thinking about is how hot you are. But when you're not in that situation as a civilian, which I am now, I can actually look back and think, those firefighters are, that's extraordinary what they do.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, our thoughts go out to them. But look, Tegan, you've kicked a goal. And I'm not, and you know, I don't just say that. It's a fact. And Paul, you know, you did such a great job. And I've had, there's been so much positive feedback. It's extraordinary.
I listened to it again the other day, which is always really difficult. It's difficult listening back to your own work, especially when, because if I'd listened back and heard something that I wasn't happy with, that I could have done better, I would have had a stroke. It would have just ruined me. And I listened back and just went, Tegan wrote a 45-minute audio play about Australian Christmas, and it's a love letter to the emergency services and volunteer firefighters and Aussie families and diversity and inclusion and all these other amazing things. And it's sitting out there for free. So if you haven't already listened, it's for such a good cause. So if you like it, I know we've already said this, but if you like it, you can go to standbysupport.com.au and donate to an incredible charity that will directly help people affected in these areas. If you want to kind of keep sending us all your personal stories and all the things you really enjoyed about it and your, you know, personal recollections of stories like this, or just kind of talk to us about how weird and intense Australian Christmases are getting, you can hit us up at facebook.com/looseunits. Is there any other housekeeping before we wrap this up, folks?
I don't think
Paul did mention something about a skull a few weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, please talk about this. Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, yeah.
But not now. Should we save it?
Well, you know what? We need to save it because, we'll save it. But next week on Loose Ends, Dad and I are going to talk about, Dad might have access to a skeleton for reasons we can't go into. It's super weird.
What do you mean Dad might have access to a skeleton?
No. This is how we work. We tease it and then we resolve it next week.
What?
Yeah. So think about that over the weekend. So, yeah.
Please, and also we're doing chapter 7, aren't we, Paul?
We are doing chapter 7, yes.
What's chapter 7?
Exciting.
I can't remember.
You'll have to listen to the episode, Tegan.
I wrote the fucking thing. I can't remember what it is. Chapter 7. I'm pretty sure chapter 7 is the arrest. Yes. So you've just finished your car chase with Len Beater. You've got your first suspect in tow and you're back at the station trying to file an arrest and put handcuffs on your very first suspect. So it's a really, really exciting chapter. Also, folks, Christmas is coming up, so grab a copy of Electric Blue, grab Loose Units, spoil the people around you, and you know what? If you want to get them something for free, recommend that they listen to Red Hot Australian Christmas. It's bloody wonderful. Have a great weekend, everyone, and we'll see you on Tuesday for more Loose Units. Bye.
Cheerio.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too.
Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.